All due respect, stupid people doing stupid things. We discuss them. Clint, are you ready? Would you like to go first? We usually let you go first.
Yeah, let's jump on it, man.
All right, let's do it.
Go for it.
A little Christmas Eve story for you guys.
Oh, okay.
And a misguided young man, 17-year-old man, Christmas Eve. I don't know how you get to this situation where Christmas Eve, you're out wandering about. And this, by the way, this happens to be in, golly, it's in a foreign country. It's actually, I don't know how I would read the tweet because it's actually a foreign language there.
I would pay to see you read in foreign language.
It'd be tough. It's in central Norway somewhere, right?
Okay.
And so, that's fair enough. That's fitting.
It's the
Norway,
the Italy of Europe.
It's the Florida. Florida of Scandinavia. Yeah.
There you go.
So this young man is out Christmas Eve and stumbles across apparently a Volvo, a vehicle.
Yeah.
That I don't know why, but he decides he's going to steal it. I don't know if he needs it or if he's just going to go on a joyride or what. But there's a Volvo sitting outside of a dealership. This kid's 17 years old, out and about Christmas Eve. Somehow gets in the car without causing any damage whatsoever on the outside. No windows broken or nothing. Somehow gets into the car and gets in the car, and in the process of trying to start the car to steal the car, the doors lock. And
okay.
He panics. Of course, he's a little bit young, obviously 17 years
old.
Right,
right.
He panics, and in this day and age of youngsters not probably communicating the way they need to communicate, he picks the phone up and calls the police. He doesn't know how to communicate with his mom and dad, his friends, his girlfriend, nobody. He picks the phone up, calls the police to come get him out of a car that he's actually trying to steal. Now, here's the kicker. He said that the caller sounded quite stressed and desperate when he called, but he knew
that's
he was
the
calling
kid.
The kids. Yeah, yeah. He knew he was calling the kids, and it come to find out, he was pretty friendly with the cops. He had been in touch with him. He'd been caught stealing things multiple times. In fact, the cops said he's been caught multiple times, but in the past, he's been at least sharp enough to get out of the vehicles that he was attempting to steal.
He's getting worse. He's regressing.
He is regressing.
Yeah.
And all due respect, my man, but you need to go get some friends. If you get stuck in that type of situation and the only number you know, the only person people you know that'll call and get you out of there are the cops, yeah, you need to get some new friends there, my man.
Yeah, you got
to
have two things when you're in the stealing business. You got to have a fall guy, and you got to have a getaway guy.
Right.
Yeah.
If you were here, I'd slap you in the back of the head, son. You got to know better. You got to prep better than that if you're going to steal vehicles out of a dealership. Come on now.
Damn. Rough neighborhoods in Norway, huh?
Norway. Central Norway, for those that care.
That Norwegian crime, baby. All right.
Oh, those gangsters in Norway, you know, those fjords, they're like 4,000 or 5,000 feet deep.
The
you
what?
Dump a body, it's
hey,
gone.
Hey,
a fjord?
You know what a fjord
no,
is.
No, I've never heard that word before.
Oh, come on. Really?
No, but thanks for making me feel like a freaking idiot.
I like the way neither one of y'all are looking at me because y'all know damn good and well I don't know what a fjord
yeah,
is.
Rich,
BMAC, you know what a fjord is?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Thank you. It's a body of water.
A fjord.
Okay.
Created by glaciers.
That's somebody passing gas.
Now I know.
That's somebody passing gas with a weird accent. How about that? That's all I got for you. By the way, a Volvo.
I hit fjorded.
I'm surprised you didn't. I'm surprised you didn't make a fjord F-150
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, that too. There you go. I'm
surprised you didn't.
I'm a Chevy guy, man.
Some of them seriously like 4,000 to 5,000 feet deep.
I've never.
So I'm just saying, if you want to dump a body.
Have you ever seen one with your
idea.
Human eyes?
Not in person,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Is it naturally that deep? Or
yes.
Is it some,
yes.
A fjord, huh? You learn something every day, Rich. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Come on now, text record, message page. Right. Back me up. You know, you people know what a fjord is, right?
Here's the deal. At the end of the day, just don't, whatever you do, do all you want with the fjords, but just understand that don't break into a Volvo because apparently there's a centralized locking system that'll get you if you break into it. There you have it.
Good to know.
Good advice.
To know. All right. So we learned the word fjord in all due respect. I wonder if Trevor Bauer knows what a fjord is. I'm going to guess no, because he doesn't seem like a very intelligent person.
I think looks belie his intelligence.
Trevor Bauer, of course, is the Cleveland Indians pitcher who seems to get into a social media kerfuffle on a regular basis with the Houston Astros. And now he got into a Twitter kerfuffle with a female student from Texas State University. A Twitter exchange involving him and the woman. 80 separate tweets apparently has led to the Cleveland Indians pitcher reassessing his use of his social media platform. Thank God.
He should have done that a while back.
Said Wednesday in a statement on Twitter, Trevor Bauer, quote, "I often defend myself against internet trolling, bullying, and slander. My responses to fans are good-natured. I do not encourage any of my fans, followers, or friends to attack, insult, or harass anyone on any social media platform or in real life. There's no room for that in this world. I've been made aware that some of the interactions related to a specific Twitter exchange may have had a negative impact. That wasn't my intention. I will wield the responsibility of my platform more responsibly in the future." They came one day after Nikki Giles, a senior at Texas State University, told USA Today Sports that she reported Bauer to the Indians, his employer, for harassment. The harassment complaint followed an exchange that began all the way back on Saturday evening when Giles tweeted that Bauer was, quote, her least favorite person in sports. On top of the 80 tweets from Bauer himself, 80, fans of the pitcher, including some of his 135,000-plus followers, have continually berated Giles with responses, including direct messages. They've been DMing her. Now, you can close down the DMs. If she's getting DMs from strangers to her thing, you can make it so that only your followers can DM you, and only somebody following you. Like, you have to be following them for them to be able to DM you. That's something she can shut down. So I feel no sympathy for her there. Quote, "He blamed me for continuously tweeting him," Giles said, adding that it made zero sense because he tagged me in over 40 tweets, which is over 10 times as many tweets as I mentioned him in. "With all due respect, I'm losing interest in this Twitter battle as I read more and more of these paragraphs." These are two people who are both probably a little loserish on Twitter. But Bauer, with all due respect to you, you're a professional athlete, man.
And a pretty good one.
Someone says that you're their least favorite athlete in sports. Embrace it, dude. Embrace it. Embrace the hate. Have it fuel you. Don't unleash your loser Twitter followers to bully her and make her life miserable. Now, with all due respect to Nikki Giles, there's a block button for a reason.
Well,
just block people, man. I'm glad you told
that story, because I'm going to have to be careful, because I love unleashing Hog Nation on, most of the time, it's Tennessee trolls talking about the fumble in 98.
Yeah.
I absolutely love some troll that comes in with some, and most of them, it's because the attempt is such a poor effort. Mm-hmm. That it's kind of like, hey guys, look at this clown. Well, if it's good, hey, I'm like, damn, that was creative. I appreciate that. Good, claps to you.
It happened 20 years ago.
Right.
Like, how many? You've heard every insult related to that play.
Yeah, and if you can't come up with anything other than, hey, be careful, Sterner maybe fumble his words or something like that. If you can't come up with anything better than that, I'm going to unleash Hog Nation on you. So I just retweet it and say, hey, what y'all think about this? And then Hog Nation just hammers down on them. It's beautiful.
Okay, I kind of do the same thing. When people on Twitter call me Uncle Fester, which happens a lot.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, you know what? No one's ever called me that before. That's really original. No one's called me that today.
Right.
You know? Oddly enough, Seth Payne hates it when people call me Uncle Fester because of that exact reason. He's like, I hate when these people are unoriginal.
Right.
They're making a joke that everybody has made for the last 20 years since I shaved my head.
I want to appreciate your effort. Just be creative.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
The same way I feel when someone inevitably make some sort of a Jesus Christ reference using my last name.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good one. I've never heard that one
hasn't
before.
Been done, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Rich, you got a story?
I do. My story comes from southwestern Ohio.
Banjos.
Which happens to be the area of the country.
That is the Florida of the Midwest.
It's southwestern Ohio happens to be the area in which I attended college. Sean knows this. Clint, I don't know if you know it, but I am a Dayton Flyer.
I like it.
Dayton, Ohio is where I spent my college years. And during those, 5 years in Dayton.
Oh, that's the first time you've ever disclosed that with me on the show.
You didn't know I was a 5-year plan guy?
I did not. I just assumed you were, but no, I'm just kidding.
It was actually more of a 10 or 12-year plan, but anyway.
Look where you are now, though,
Rich. 5 years to get out of college.
All's well that ends well.
10 or 12 to figure out I wasn't a kid anymore. But anyway, in Dayton, Ohio, there's a community called Riverside. And what I was going to say is, when we were students in Dayton, Ohio, most of us weren't from the Dayton area. And we came to know the indigenous population of the area as a very interesting group.
That sounds like a third world term there, like indigenous.
Well, lots of mullets, lots of broken or missing and or missing teeth.
Okay.
Tats, misspelled tats.
Yes.
No ragrets.
We came... We came to refer to the indigenous population of that area as hill rats.
Yeah, that's a good term.
Just seemed easy.
That's a great... Hill rats is a phenomenal term, and it's accurate for that part of the country.
So my story,
no disrespect.
My story is about a family of hill rats, and one thing I learned in Dayton is hill rats love them some Kmart, and appropriately, this story comes from a Kmart parking lot in the greater Dayton, Ohio area.
Beautiful. This is like this is the equivalent of a Walmart story in Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
So the names aren't mentioned in this story, but some hill rat in his 40s bought a Pontiac G8 GT. Now, I'm not even going to sit here and tell you I know exactly what the details of that car are. If it's some high-powered sports car, I don't know. Pontiac G8 GT decided to take his two kids to Kmart, one of them a teenager, the other younger than that, and it was a snowy day in the greater Dayton, Ohio area. I think this was last week. So the hill rat father decided to impress his hill rat sons by going all uneasy rider on him, Charlie Daniels reference, and doing some donuts in the parking lot in the snow.
Some bonding.
Didn't work out too well for hill rat dad and hill rat kids. For those who don't know, because we don't get a lot of snow around here, donuts is when you drive your car in a tight circle at a high speed and just spin out.
Spin. It's fun, man.
It's fun if you do it in a completely open area.
Yeah, big parking lot.
Bro, you don't think we do donuts in the South?
Well, there's no snow in the South. That's the only thing I think about donuts.
You can do donuts on the beach. You can do donuts in somebody's yard at midnight.
You're right. My bad. I may be a hill rat. I don't know. So in this Kmart parking lot, unfortunately for the hill rat family, there were poles in the parking lot. And so hill rat dad apparently lost control of his car during one of these donuts and not only hit a pole, hit a live power pole and took it out.
Dude.
So,
literally.
So, the dad and both kids wound up in the hospital. Non-life-threatening injuries, thank God.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We may need to cull the herd a little bit.
Yeah.
These people can't reproduce, you know.
Well, this isn't yet a Darwin Award story, Sean.
I'm saying maybe it should have been.
Cops showed up. Dad cited for a reckless operation. He'll deal with that after he gets out of the hospital. But like I said, the story doesn't detail the extent of the injuries that landed them in the hospital. But it does say non-life-threatening, which is good to hear. But with all due respect.
Again, says you.
Yeah, with all due respect, hill rats and donuts, it's a bad combination.
I don't know, man. If they had a live PD of just hill rats doing things, let's go to...
Well, I would watch.
EBF West Virginia.
Yeah, I would watch.
I would watch that in a second.
I'm going to err on the other side of that. Donuts and light poles are not a good idea. Hill rats or no hill rats, leave the light pole out, will
you? That's better.
All right. That was all due respect, stupid people doing donuts in parking lots. Hill rats, as it were.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. All right.